QuickSurf Internet Media presents Apple Newslog, separating the Apple signal from the noise. Hey everybody, how's it going? You are listening to Apple Newslog. I am your host, Adrian, coming to you almost live from lovely Phoenix, Arizona, here in Studio BR2. We have a ginormous show this episode. It's episode number 127. Apple Newslog is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Do feel free to head on over to www.techpodcasts.com. And if you like any of my shows, you'll certainly like other technology-related shows over there as well. I kind of held off a little bit on pushing this episode out. I was originally supposed to do it on Monday, this past Monday, but there was a preview event on Tuesday morning for the iPhone OS 3.0. And so I said, you know what? I'm not going to do a new episode just yet. I'm going to delay it a little bit and see what comes of the iPhone 3.0 episode OS and all that other stuff. So it's Saturday now, so there's been a couple of days for everybody to just kind of digest it so I can actually give you a bit of a summary of what's going on. Before we actually do, there's no video for this particular episode because it's actually really going to be pretty long. At any rate, before we go into all the news and tidbits and everything that's going on, I do want to talk about the sponsor for this episode. It's from Citrix, GoToAssist Express. If you're still trying to fix clients' technical problems in person or blindly over the phone, you're wasting your time and your client's time. Take the guesswork out of customer support. Support smarter with the new remote support service, GoToAssist Express, brought to you by Citrix. Easily view and control your customers' computers online so you can quickly resolve their technical issues. It's easy for your customers. It's easy for you. Try GoToAssist Express right now, free, for 30 days. For this special offer, you must visit GoToAssist.com/techpodcast. That's GoToAssist.com/techpodcast for a free trial. And this is from the same company that has done GoToMeeting, which techpodcast.com uses all the time for their roundtable. So at any rate, let's go ahead and get into kind of what's been going on in Apple land. There's actually been a lot more than just a new iPhone firmware. So, but we're going to start with that. From Apple's own PR library, Apple previews the developer beta of iPhone OS 3.0. And basically, in a nutshell, what this gives is it's a new SDK. There's over 1,000 new APIs in the SDK for developers, and they've added 100 new features for the end user. And basically, some of the new APIs include in-app purchases, peer-to-peer connections, an app interface for accessories, which is kind of cool. I like that a lot. I do recommend that you go watch the video. Apple has released a video of the event. You know, it's about an hour and a half, so you know, block out some time for that. Peer-to-peer connections. There's an app interface, access to the iPod music library. There's a new Maps API, and they finally have delivered push notifications. On the customer side, the people who are actually going to be using the iPhone, there's 100 new features that will be available to the iPhone and iPod Touch users this summer, including cut, copy, and paste, MMS, very nice, landscape view for mail, text, and notes, stereo, Bluetooth, syncing notes to the Mac and PC, shake to shuffle, parental controls for TV shows, movies and apps for the App Store, and automatic login at Wi-Fi hotspots. There's a new voice memo app, expanded search capability. They've added this Spotlight application that lets you search across pretty much everything on the phone. or iPod Touch. Basically, it's a major release. I mean, I'm barely even scratching the surface. They spent an hour and a half just, you know, basically hitting boom, next thing, boom, next thing, boom. I mean, it was just like, man, there's a lot of stuff in this firmware release. I could literally talk for the next 30 minutes. But for myself personally, the big things for me is MMS. I don't know why they didn't include that in the first iPhone. To me, that's a major faux pas on Apple's part. The cut, copy, and paste, I don't really use that much, so it's not that big of a deal for me. I'm sure once it's there, I'll start going, oh my gosh, you know, how did I live without this? But in the here and now, it's not that huge of a deal for me. They've pretty much covered most of the places where you would want to cut, copy, and paste by allowing you to, like, if I, you know, get an email from somebody, I can add them to my address book straight from there using, you know, built-in functionality that's already there. So they've negated a lot of the needs for cut, copy, and paste that people would normally use it for. But with this new firmware version, they've released that. The landscape view, yeah, okay, you know, I it's not... not really a deal breaker for me, but the MMS, I really like that. The other thing that I'm really liking is the voice memo app. To me, that's going to be huge, you know, because you can, from that voice memo app, you can either email the voice memo, which is cool, or you can send it via MMS. So, you know, this opens up a lot of new stuff. If I'm out on the road and I need to do a new podcast, I don't necessarily have to use my PC for recording. If I really want to, I can record on my iPhone, and it allows me to plug in an external mic. Obviously, it's not the same kind of mic as what I'm using now to record on the Mac, but... you know, the possibility exists that I can, you know, plug in, you know, a mic similar to what you get with the headset for the iPhone. And it, you know, the clarity on those is not bad at all. You know, and so basically I can literally phone it in, so to speak, if I'm on the road or if, you know, if I'm recording something and, you know, I don't have full access to internet and all that other stuff, you know, it makes it, you know, there's some new usage possibilities there. So now pricing and availability is another thing. I mean, they've announced it and it's a beta for developers. So the software and SDK will be available to registered developers to download starting on this past Tuesday from developer.apple.com. iPhone customers will be able to download the new iPhone OS 3.0 software for free this summer in June sometime, and iPod Touch customers will be able to purchase the software update for $9.95 in US dollars. For the first generation iPhone customers, all of this functionality will be available as well, with the exception of MMS messaging. That's available only on the iPhone 3G, and some of the other features like the stereo Bluetooth. You know, in the features that you know are supported by the 3G hardware, where there was actually a hardware change, they won't be available on the original iPhone. But otherwise, the rest of the software will be. So, very nice. Now, with that being said, there has been, in the past week, as you can probably imagine, a lot of coverage from a lot of technology-oriented websites and blogs and et cetera, et cetera. I've included in the show notes a list of interesting things. Some of the highlights: iPhone OS 3.0 may limit or may lift limit on podcast downloads that you can do over the 3G network. Right now it's currently limited to 10 megabytes. So if you've got anything longer than that, you're kind of SOL, you know, larger than that, you're kind of SOL. So that's a possibility. We won't know until it's actually there. iPhone OS 3.0 tethering revealed. Still requires carrier approval. This is from Daily Tech. And basically what it'll let you do is plug the iPhone into your PC or Mac via USB and use it just like you would, you know, the data cards that you get for the data plans. Like, for example, I have a Sprint data plan. So if I'm out and about anywhere I have cell phone access, I've got, you know, I can plug the card into my Mac and I can surf the internet across the data card using Sprint's 3G network. Well, if tethering becomes available on the 3.0 firmware and AT&T allows me to do it, I can get rid of my Sprint card and plan and use, you know, basically have my iPhone and plug it in and tether it. So for me, that's a big deal. I've got an article from Crunch Gear, complete how to tethering an iPhone with 3.0 firmware. Kind of nice. Engadget has a iPhone 3.0 beta firmware FAQ. It's pretty comprehensive. Definitely check it out. I would highly recommend that you go to Apple's website and you watch the video that they've posted of the thing if you want all the details. It's a pretty substantial upgrade. Some of the stuff is like, oh, wow, that's cool. And some of the stuff is, you know, they're finally adding stuff that should have been there in the first gen iPhone. And with all of this that's been happening, there's suddenly started popping up a lot of discussion for what the next version of iPhone that will be released this summer, because so far Apple's released a new iPhone every summer. So there's several articles. The first one from Apple Insider, Apple's 2009 iPhone to support faster 3G networks. And so basically what they've got is 2G, 3G, and 4G. 3G is currently, you know, kind of there, where 2008 and 2009 shows the iPhone 3G, 2009 to 2010 shows an iPhone 3G Plus, and then 2010 onward shows an iPhone LTE. So it's kind of interesting to see if it's going to be supported with that. Also, there's been quite a bit of discussion on the next iPhone having video recording. CNetNews.com has in their Apple section has an article up on that. Kind of interesting. That would be cool too. Also, whether or not there's going to be multiple iPhone models. Business Week has an article for that. You know, Apple very well could release multiple iPhone models this summer. Also, the iPhones being released this summer may have OLED screens. This, I don't know. That may not happen. But still, pretty cool stuff. You know, lots of iPhone stuff going on this episode. Just pretty substantial upgrade they've announced. Let's just put it that way. So anyway, that's, however, not been the only thing that has been made available from Apple during, you know, since the last time I've done a show. In addition to that, in iTunes, you can now download, buy/rent HD movies on your Mac, in addition to the Apple TV, where, you know, basically all that functionality was there in the Apple TV before. Well, Apple has finally opened it up download HD movies on your PC. And the Apple PR event that they've released says that the iTunes customers can purchase and rent box office favorites, including Quantum of Solace and Twilight, in stunning HD on the iTunes store. Starting today, movie fans can purchase box office blockbusters for download in HD for $19.99 from iTunes, and films will be available as iTunes movie rentals in HD for $4.99 within 30 days after release. So you can enjoy these films in HD on your Mac or PC and on your widescreen TV with Apple TV, as well as in standard definition on the iPhone or iPod with video. The iTunes Store is the world's most popular, blah, 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 blah. So kind of interesting. It's a little more expensive, but What you get with that is the HD version and the standard definition version. So I can understand why they're charging more. You're basically getting two versions of the movie in one. So cool. There has been an update to that. Gizmodo has posted a story. iTunes HD movies won't play on older non-HDCP monitors. Unfortunately, I kind of expected this, but you know, you don't really know until somebody tries it. So basically, they're saying in their article that if you drop $20 on an HD movie from iTunes since they came out, but you have a newer Mac and an older external display, you might not be able to watch it. That's because iTunes HD movies require that you have an HDCP compliant external display. So, bummer. But most monitors manufactured within the last couple years have HDCP support built into the monitor. So that's something to keep an eye out for if you have an external monitor and you're planning to watch the HD version of the movie on the external monitor. In addition to that, Apple has announced a new iPod Shuffle. Whew! I mean, this just keeps getting better. I mean, Apple's been really busy since, you know, in the last week and a half, 2 weeks. So the new iPod Shuffle, they're saying in their PR press release that it's the world's smallest music player at nearly half the size of the previous model, which if you ask me, the previous model was microscopic. And it's the first music player that talks to you. The revolutionary new voiceover feature enables iPod Shuffle to speak your song titles, artists, and playlist names. The third generation iPod Shuffle is significantly smaller than a AA battery. It holds up to 1,000 songs, and it's easier to use with all the controls conveniently located on an earphone cord. So that's basically how they're doing it. Is they've moved all the controls off the Shuffle and onto your earphone cord, and that has allowed them to make the actual Shuffle itself smaller. I mean, at this point, it's so small, it's almost like it's just a little, you know, dongle thing hanging on the end of the earphone cord. It's microscopically small. With the press of a button, you can play, pause, adjust volume, switch playlists. That's an added feature of the Shuffle's playlists, and hear the name of the song and artist. iPod Shuffle's features a gorgeous new aluminum design and a built-in stainless steel clip that makes it ultra wearable. So you can basically just clip it anywhere you want and away you go. Imagine your music player talking to you, telling you your song titles, artists, and playlist names. And the amazingly small new iPod Shuffle takes a revolutionary approach to how you listen to your music by talking to you, also making it your first iPod Shuffle with playlists. Okay, so pricing and availability of this, it'll be the third generation iPod Shuffle, 4 gigs. It's now shipping. You can get it in silver or black from Apple for a suggested price of $79 through the Apple Store and authorized resellers. It comes with the Apple earphones, with the remote, and the iPod Shuffle USB cable. The iPod Shuffle requires a Mac with a USB 2.0 port, OS 10.4.11 or later, and iTunes 8.1 or later, or a Windows PC with a USB 2.0 port, and Windows Vista or XP Home or Professional Service Pack 3 or later, and iTunes 8.1. So at any rate, I think this is a good thing. There's no reason, you know, when I'm listening to my stuff, 9 times out of 10, I don't have, you know, my phone, you know, where I'm looking at it and I can control it. I've got it stuck in my pocket, or if I'm, you know, on the road or I'm traveling, I've got it tucked away in my backpack or, you know, my jacket pocket or, you know, where have you. And so, you know, I think it's a great thing that they've added more controls, or moved some of the controls, at least on the Shuffle. I can guarantee you that this is going to, you know, explode out to other other iPods. I mean, this functionality, I can almost guarantee you, is going to end up on the iPod Classic. It's going to end up on the next iPhone and iPod Touch. It's going to end up on the iPod Nano, because, you know, you rarely have, when you're listening to stuff, you know, you're on the freeway or you're going or whatever, I rarely have it where I'm actually holding my player in my hand. So personally, I think it's a great thing that they've moved the controls. Now on the Shuffle, what that's resulted in is the Shuffle itself no longer has the controls. So you now have to have headphones that explicitly support the Shuffle. But like I said, I can guarantee you, if this takes off, Apple is going to move all of that to the next hardware revisions of their iPod players and iPhone. With this, unfortunately, comes a couple of snafus. People have started dissecting it and realizing that the new iPod Shuffle has a mysterious chip in it. And I've got an article up about that. The chip itself, people have been saying, oh my gosh, it's DRM, you know, blah, 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 da, da, da. And that's not the case. Boing Boing has an article where they basically clarify things a little bit. The iPod headphones aren't DRM. They're just controlled by a proprietary chip that you have to license. And so basically what it boils down to is, because they've moved all the controls from the player itself to the cord, you still have to put the controller chip somewhere. And so what they've done is they've moved that controller chip from the player to the headphone control, or the headphone cable. So, you know, the player chip is basically in the same module that the buttons are for controlling the iPod. And unfortunately, that also means that in order to make headphones for the new iPod Shuffle, you have to license that chip from Apple. In my opinion, that's not a big deal. But I've not yet had a chance to actually go and play with the new iPod Shuffle down at the Apple Store, so I can't tell you one way or the other just yet. While we're still talking on iPod Shuffle news, Gizmodo has a story. The new Shuffle is available in pretty colors for $129 unofficially. So Apple, basically, from Apple, you can get it in gray and black. However, Computer Choppers is happy to do some custom color anodizing for you. And basically, you can get it in red, orange, yellow, couple shades of green, blue, purple, cyan, magenta, pink, bunches of stuff for $129. So basically a $50 premium over the stock iPod Shuffle. They'll anodize it. You can get it also in copper, rose gold, platinum, etc., etc. Apple will probably get around to releasing the Shuffle in a variety of colors, but here and now you can get it from Computer Choppers for $50 premium. Kind of cool. So, three major things directly from Apple: iPhone 3.0, OS 3.0, summer 2009 iPhone, and iPod Touch, presumably, possibly other iPods and new hardware, iTunes HD movies, and iPod Shuffle news. In addition to that, there's actually been some other Apple news that's been going on. So we'll go ahead and get into that, starting off with CNetNews.com in their Crave blog. Apple has leaked a 17-inch, report. Apple leaks 17-inch iMac for $899. So, kind of interesting. The story starts off, it's kind of funny when an Italian language site breaks a wee bit of English language-based Apple news, but that's what happened when SETIB.IT spotted a small mention of an $899 17-inch iMac for the education market on Apple's own website. So currently, 20 and 24-inch screen sizes, the 20-inch model starts at $1,199, the 24-inch starts at $1,499. There's no word on the the new 17-incher or when it will even arrive, if it really is new. So we're kind of waiting for an official confirmation from Apple, but still kind of funny. You know, if they want to stay in the education market, they have to have an educational version of it. From TechCrunch, I've got an interesting story. Tags is the organization tool for Mac users who have obsessive compulsive disorder. Oh, wow. Someone like me. Tagging can be the super organizer's dream tool. Apple application developer Gravity Applications recently launched a tagging software called Tags, and it allows Mac users to tag all their files, including emails, bookmarks, pictures, and files. The tag allows users to assign keywords for files, grouping many different files that have something in common. The tagging feature also allows you to apply many different types of tags to a single file or apply the same tag to multiple files, giving the user a little more flexibility than just the file/folder system. It's $29, and you can try it out for 30 days for free to see if the application works for you. So, kind of interesting. I thought I would mention it here. In addition to that, over at PC World, I ran across an article. The title of the article is called "iPhone Data Speed Too Slow? Lawsuit Says Yes." Apparently, Apple is facing a new legal action over data speeds on the iPhone 3G. A man from New Jersey says the company isn't living up to its promise of super fast surfing, and now he's demanding action. His lawsuit makes for more than a dozen network-related complaints filed against Apple in America's courts. And, you know, it may have some to do with the iPhone 3G, but very much so, it has a lot to do with what network you're on. You know, there's just no way around that. There's another kind of interesting story here on Gizmodo. An iPod repairman has scammed Apple out of 9,000 shuffles. A Michigan-based iPod repairman has been charged with fraud after allegedly scamming Apple out of 9,000 iPod shuffles. The method was simple. Nicholas Woodhams essentially guessed serial numbers for iPod shuffles still under warranty, then entered them into Apple's site as broken. He was shipped a new iPod Shuffle that could be sold for $50 while his debit card rejected Apple's eventual attempt to charge him for the broken Shuffle that was never mailed in. Wow. So, and apparently this exact same scenario was repeated 8,999 more times. Oh my God. I mean, that the man has, that's a lot of time you're putting in. Kind of stupid, too. They're going to catch you eventually. From CNetNews.com, AT&T is allegedly on the brink of offering no-contract iPhones this upcoming week. AT&T has confirmed a report that it will offer iPhones without a two-year contract starting next week, the 24th, I believe, of March. We'll see. Today's the 21st, the 22nd, I'm sorry. No, the 23rd. Starting Monday the 23rd, apparently. Anyway, they're planning to sell no-contract iPhones for $599 or $699 starting next Thursday, as first reported by the Boy Genius Report. Unfortunately, those phones will still be locked into AT&T's network. So, bummer. But still, nonetheless, kind of cool. Now, we've been following the PSYSTAR, or PSYSTAR, however you want to pronunciate it, lawsuit that Apple's had going against them. And basically, there's some new developments. The PC Magazine Network. Wait a minute. The PC Magazine Digital Network. Ugh. Has an article up. PSYSTAR challenges Apple again with another clone. Say what you will about PSYSTAR, the company's got guts. Despite legal action from Apple, the clone manufacturer is soldiering on with the release of Open 3, the third computer model from the company to come with OS 10 pre-installed. The new desktop runs $599 and features a 500 gig hard drive, 2.8 gigahertz Core 2 Duo processor, and 2 gigs of RAM. You can also upgrade the system for gaming, And I'm shocked and amazed that they're continuing to do what they're doing. But say what you will, if they think they're on the right, there's no reason to stop. From PC World, there's an article where Apple is asking a company to stop using the Podium name. Lawyers representing Apple's intellectual property interests sent a cease and desist letter to Procreate over its use of the names FlyPod and Podium for its products. The letter states that Apple is concerned that consumers will be confused by the use of the term pod in the product names and that people may think that Apple is somehow associated with the products. Apple contends that the word pod has been used exclusively by consumers as an abbreviation for its iPod. Wow. So, anyway, we'll see what comes of that. As always, everything we've talked about is linked up in the show notes. We're clocking on 31 minutes here in just a couple of seconds. That's pretty much all I've got for this edition of Apple Newslog. I know it's kind of a monster show compared to what we usually do. In the show notes, I've added a link to subscribe to this podcast. That's an oversight that I realized it wasn't there, but I started getting emails of people going, "Hey, where's the link to subscribe to the podcast?" So I said, "Oh yeah, I forgot all about that here." So there's a link in there. Also, there's a link to visit us on the web, apple.quicksurf.com. You can visit our sister shows, podcasts.quicksurf.com. I host and produce, in addition to Apple Newslog, Linux Newslog, Microsoft Newslog, and the Geekinator. And every once in a while, I eke out a new Rockinator, but that particular podcast is fairly pod-fated from now. You can also call in the voicemail hotline, 602-466-3134. I've started getting calls on that again. I may play some of them here on the episode. Facebook profile, friend feed, Twitter, and Ustream profile are all linked up in the show notes. And on the next episode, I will try to get the video in addition to the audio done. I just realized that this episode, I had so much I was talking about, it would be difficult to fit a video inside of the 1 gigabyte limit that Blip TV requires. And it would never show up on YouTube because I'm limited to, in addition to the 1 gig limit, maximum 10 minutes. So anyway, that's pretty much it for this episode. As always, I thank you so much for listening. Stay subscribed or resubscribe. And I will talk with all of you on this upcoming Monday. I'm sure there'll be some new developments since then. And I will see you then. Thanks for listening. Bye.